Joining me in the studio is Graham Shapiro. He is the owner of Shapiro Advisory, a financial advisory company for SMEs. Good afternoon, Graham.
Good afternoon. Good to be back after our bank last week.
Yeah, we missed you last week. We had to speak about soccer and everything.
I know.
And I needed you here for that because at least you follow that a lot better than I do. And you're a numbers guy, so it was a little difficult.
No, I can imagine.
Yep. So we're going to talk about business ethics.
Absolutely.
South Africa, of course, dealing with this issue quite extensively as we try and contemplate what is reasonable and what is not reasonable behavior. We've got Bell Pottinger, we've got KPMG, we've got SAPS. Every business that has been connected to the Guptas has been tarnished. But how do we find our way through this?
I think it's difficult, and I think, you know, there's all these things happening and you actually don't know who to trust anymore. You don't know what to believe anymore. I mean, you've got, like you said, you know, you've got Bell Pottinger who create this campaign, and which is completely based on lies. And I think there's still people today who believe the whole story of white monopoly capital. So it just goes to show how powerful these campaigns can be. And then, you know, you've also, on the other side, you've got KPMG. You've got, you know, the accountants are one of the most, probably one of the most trusted professions out there. And now, you know, I remember 17 years ago, well, sorry, it was about 18 years ago, just as I was studying accounting, there was the whole Enron scandal with Arthur Andersen. So you sort of thought that at that stage they put in enough checks and balances to make sure that a huge scandal couldn't happen again. But obviously it comes down to individuals who, as we know, are very, very flawed. In fact, do you know Dan Ariely?
Of course, one of my favorite authors.
So mine too. So I don't know if he's got a recent book out. I think it's been out for about the past year called The Honest Truth About Dishonesty.
Mm. No, that was, I think actually, if I'm not mistaken, that's his first book.
Was that his first book? Maybe I just found it a year ago.
The truth is I did exactly that. Now you've made me doubt myself, but I'm pretty sure that was one of his first books. But whilst you're talking, I'm Googling.
Okay, go for it. So you know, he basically showed through a whole lot of experiments how most people at some stage have levels of dishonesty within them, especially if it comes to money. You know, he would do lots of experiments where, you know, you were offered an exam where you marked it yourself, and the more answers you got right, they would pay you. You would just go declare your score, and they would pay you based on it. And they found that people, when they had the opportunity to cheat, especially if there was money involved, people would cheat. You know, when obviously if the moderator marked your exam, had a lot less people. Had the ability to cheat. So I think the thing that you know, I also often think about, and I think I don't can't remember if it makes the point in his book or not, but I don't
his
think
2012 book.
A 2012 book. Okay, so it's only 5 years. Only 5 years old. So, you know, people aren't out there to be dishonest, and a lot of it comes from justification. He gave another example where people were given an experience which was to do with food. And if they had a good experience with the food, they didn't really complain, and they didn't try to cheat in paying for their food. There were small experiments, like they gave you like a sandwich or something like
right,
that.
Right.
But if the guy was rude, you felt inclined to maybe try to cheat him. And I mean, you can almost picture it. Imagine if you're in a restaurant and you get terrible service. You and they give you too much change. You pay with cash because it's 1920, and you pay with cash, and they give you too much change. You're less likely to own up about it if the waiter was rude, or if the waiter was very nice. So another big part of it, what can drive dishonesty, is justification. So you know, if you feel wronged, maybe you feel wronged by society.
So it's so interesting. So you're saying that honesty, the way we apply honesty, is completely subjective and possibly even emotional.
A lot of the time it can be. And, you know, I think in most cases, obviously, you know, I want to look at the two big cases that we're seeing right now and just to play them off against each other, you know, Bell Pottinger and KPMG. I think Bell Pottinger is an example of people who had power and influence and used that to their advantage purely for financial gain. Maybe there was a justification in the back saying, we're just a PR company, we're doing what our client wants. We don't get involved in the politics. You know, we just deliver a marketing product. So there could have been but you almost feel that with Bell Pottinger is far more sinister. So, you know, just a bit of history of Bell Pottinger, just so you can see that, you know, this doesn't feel like a once-off thing when you start to read up about them to see. So, first of all, they were founded in 1998, so they're almost 30 years old. Actually, today I saw this morning they've gone into administration.
Yes, they have.
And it's only
their Middle East branch.
Oh, is it
only
the Middle East? Oh, that's surprising.
Yeah, exactly. We've got to wonder who those clients are.
Possibly a Dubai client. I'm just wondering.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, their main services were lobbying, speech writing, and reputation management, which is equally surprising because they couldn't handle their own PR.
Yeah, they were a PR company who needed a PR company.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they should have maybe written some of Zuma's speeches if they were any good at that.
Maybe they did. Maybe
those weren't so great.
Maybe it was to get you to. Maybe they were trying to distract you.
Maybe actually it could well be.
So the founder Lord Bell actually advised Margaret Thatcher from 1976 to 1990. He advised English prime ministers on clothing.
So they've always been quite involved in politics.
So their target market was governments and high net worth individuals.
That was
their sort of target. So they went as far as advising prime ministers on hairstyles and their clothing that they would wear, just to show you how much influence that can actually have.
Is that bad though?
I think that's probably fairly harmless. That's fairly harmless. That's just probably image. You know, what
Correct.
Sort of image you want to? Are you
yes.
portraying the image that you want to? They advised F.W. de Klerk on the post-apartheid election, which I found very interesting.
Fascinating. Yeah.
Also goes to show that they have no sides.
Right.
Another one that I found very interesting, and this is when they just started. Have you heard or read the book Barbarians at the Gate?
Yes.
So they advised Henry Kravis of KKR, who was involved in the hostile buyout of Nabisco. So that was one of their first major gigs. Is they were involved in that whole deal.
Fascinating.
So they were by no means small. Recently, they have a conflict resolution division, if you can believe that.
Uh-huh.
They headed a covert propaganda campaign in Iraq from 2007 to 2011, probably to sway public opinion, maybe to democracy. I don't know what they did, but it cost about $540 million.
Oh my word! Oh my word! That's a nice account if you can
exactly.
get it.
So you know, so just looking at them. You know, especially what they did in South Africa. You know, they called the Public Relations and Communications Association. So the head of that, his name is Francis Ingham, and he said their campaign of white monopoly capital was probably the most blatant instance of unethical practice he'd ever seen.
Unbelievable.
So you know, on this hand, you have Bell Pottinger, who have really come out with this smear campaign. No one's taking responsibility for it. No one, you know, everyone's trying to blame each other. You get the sense that they really don't care of this racial divide that they've created in this country. And in this case, as we can see, what's transpired over the last couple of weeks, that they went too far. You know, they've actually, as we said now, is the Middle Eastern company was forced to shut down. That's cost 200 people their jobs. What they were doing, I'm not sure. They were probably part of everything that was going on.
Unbelievable.
But Howard, I was always thinking, have you seen the movie Wag the Dog?
No.
Okay, so
it wasn't. It was one of those political ones, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
so it had, I think, I can't remember his name, Dustin Hoffman.
Mm.
So it was, and I was actually thinking about it this afternoon. It came to my mind. That probably portrays exactly what Bell Pottinger were doing. So in the movie, you had a president. I think he was coming up for re-election, and he hired this PR company, and they created a fake war with America against Albania. They went as far as they had green screens, they had movie directors, and they actually created this war. Now, the opposition, the other president who was coming up against them,
right.
He hired a PR company who were doing their own response to the war. So you had two presidents on either side using PR companies commenting on this fake war.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
So it was, you know, and
I mean,
and,
completely absurd, but maybe not.
People believed it, and they went as far as they had it. They found a homeless guy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if they killed him or if he just happened to die. They made him a war hero. They had a whole emotional memorial service for him with a funeral, and I can't remember how it ended, but you know that was the PR war that went on, and and that's what I was saying now is who do you how do you what do you trust anymore? You know, you've got all these things happening. Is what's real and what isn't? And you know, how do we
because everything is spin, isn't it?
A lot
of it, I think that we spend so much time trying to cut through the fluff and the noise in order to get to the truth. And I'm not even sure that we ever really do. All we do is create our own truth and our own narratives because it's so confusing out there.
Well, exactly. I mean, and so you can say, oh, well, you...
And nothing is finite because nobody is all good and nobody is all bad.
Well, for sure. So I mean, that's it. I mean, like at our level, you've got the government making a... actually hiring them, well, the Guptas, but really the government, you know. So you, even if you want to think for yourself and try and investigate these things for yourself, you actually don't know what sources are credible anymore. So, oh, another thing that I saw that Bell Pottinger did, which they were caught, they were editing all their clients' Wikipedia pages.
Which is quite clever, really, yeah. because that's your point of reference.
Exactly.
If you can change perception of fact, then you've done a great job. Time is 4:50. I'm chatting with Graham Shapiro. We're talking about the ethics of business and specifically with reference to KPMG and the Bell Pottinger Gupta affair. Graham, what I'm finding interesting as well in this whole situation is because we've had a situation, I think, that government absconded its own responsibility in terms of commercial ethics and the implementation of an ethical system. We had a situation that business itself, for example, the banks, took control of something that the government didn't. In other words, they said, so much and no further, we're not going to bank the Guptas anymore because we don't feel comfortable that commercially or that ethically this is okay.
Well, I think what you have in companies is they have risk management. You know, you have, and especially being a bank, you have, and it's not just a thing on the side. So you have something called risk management. So you, you see what business relationships have as a risk to you as a bank,
right.
Or you as a so a lot of companies, you know, started. They have something called KYC, which is know your client. So before you bring on a client, you do a whole background investigation of them, and especially with big corporates, it will go through a committee.
Right.
You know, sometimes you might apply for credit at a bank, you know, and you wonder why you have to give all this documentation. And the bank is doing their background checks on you. The same thing is done with corporates on clients. So like you say, the banks sort of stepped in where they sort of said, well, the government's not doing anything. But we're going to have to.
Well, yeah,
and it's not even whether the government does something or not. These clients are actually a risk to us. We see what's unraveling here from reputation also. So, you know, something that happened with KPMG recently, I think in the last couple of days, is they were hosting an event with the Institute of Directors. And the Institute of Directors cancelled it because they didn't want to be associated with KPMG.
Absolutely amazing.
So you know, whereas business is often seen as maybe not always so squeaky clean, business always has their shareholders in the back of the head. They always have their business reputation in the back of their mind, whereas government might not necessarily care as much. So they're going to take steps to make sure that everything goes smoothly for them.
I'm Howard Feldman. This is your afternoon with me on 101.9 High FM. I'm chatting with Graham Shapiro. Graham and I are talking about business ethics, as specifically as it relates to Bell Pottinger, as well as KPMG and the Guptas. But Graham, something I was saying to you during the song is, it's all very well that we can tut-tut and we can shake our heads with disgust at the Bell Pottingers of the world. But the reality is that anybody that's been in business for more than a day has dealt with ethical issues. And sometimes it's very, very confusing. Is it ethical to delay somebody's payment if your terms are 30 days and you pay 33? Is that okay? Is that where's the line? It's a very, very difficult thing. And not only that, is sometimes you're dealing with your own very real issues and concerns in business. And no one's a saint and no one's perfect. What's your thoughts?
Absolutely. And I mean, that's a great point. I think, as you said, anyone who's been in business for more than a day has all these questions and has all these experiences. You know, I think it comes back to what we said at the beginning. Nobody sets out to go out and be dishonest. No one starts a business saying, I'm going to run this dishonestly to make as much money as I can. And I think what can happen is, you know, when you don't pay people on time, or if you putting, you know, maybe personal expenses through your business, or you're doing little things like that, you're justifying it in your head. And also you're saying, well, I have to pay myself, so I have to pay these guys late. And then somebody won't pay you, and then you'll come back to them and say, you know what, I'm waiting for to be paid by a customer. I can't pay you yet. Right. And generally people are understanding, but it also comes down to that. You know, it's a very gray area, ethics, because it's not law. You know, no one can prosecute you for paying them on 31 days. You know, so
right.
But I think also what happens, you know, with that justification, I think once you've done it once, you'll do it again, and you'll do it again, and then it won't even become something wrong anymore.
Right.
You know, if you so I think, and I think, you know, my father always lives by a certain motto. He always says he'd rather sleep well than eat well. And I think if you can have your own moral compass. I think if you're doing something that makes you uncomfortable, I think that's your first indication that it's not, that it's the wrong thing.
Well, that's hopefully that if you are wired to a
moral compass.
Exactly right, Graham Shapiro. That's where we're going to leave it. It's just about to go 5 o'clock. Absolutely fascinating conversation on business ethics. You have a fantastic week ahead, and we'll be back with Graham Shapiro next week, Monday.